From Jefferson City, Missouri Net special coverage as Governor Mike Parsons addresses the legislature. Now live from the Capitol, Missouri Net News Director Brian Houseworth.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone. We are live at the Missouri Capitol in Jefferson City, Missouri. I'm Brian Houseworth on our 63-station Missouri Net Radio Network. We are getting ready for the governor's address to a rare joint session of the legislature. Straight up 5 o'clock across the network. I have to keep my voice down just a little bit. The Senate President Pro Tem Ron Richard is right below me. He is introducing a number of guests who are here in the Missouri House chamber that are being introduced right now. Among the guests that are standing right in front of me as I am in the House Press Gallery are Missouri Senator Roy Blunt, Missouri Congressman Jason Smith, Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner, and a number of other members of the judiciary, including members of the Missouri Supreme Court. We are thrilled that you could join us and could join us here as we set this up. I'm alongside Mike Cady, who is our engineer on site. Elisa Nelson, our Missouri Net managing editor, is also here today. Keep something in mind, folks, and this is something that we sometimes forget. It's been a crazy session. Governor Mike Parson, hard to say those words. I still actually call him Senator Mike Parson because I covered him for years in the Senate. He has only been governor of this state for a little bit more than a week. And in a week, he has had a number of meetings with members of the Missouri congressional delegation, with senators, with representatives on both sides of the aisle. His schedules every day have been packed. And today, Governor Parson met in his office with Senator Claire McCaskill. He met with Senator Roy Blunt, and he met with a number of members of the congressional delegation. The only two who could not make it to Jefferson City were Democratic Congressman Lacey Clay. He had a career fair, a job fair that he does in St. Louis every year that was scheduled about 6 months ago. And Congressman Sam Graves was up in Northwest Missouri on his farm, could not make it down here as well. All the other congressional members, though, in the delegation were here. Governor Parson was invited before he took office. I was outside his office at that time, Lieutenant Governor, just about a week and a half ago. The Speaker of the House, Todd Richardson, the Senate President Pro Tem Ron Richard, and a couple of other legislative leaders went to his office when they learned that Governor Greitens would resign, and they invited him to address a joint session. Many of you are probably wondering, what is a joint session? A joint session is here in the Missouri House, where the House and Senate convene at the same time. It's rare, very rare. You see it normally once, maybe twice. This is the third time I can remember this year we've had one. We had one with the State of the Judiciary where the Chief Justice unveiled his priorities. That was back in January. And then we had a rare one as well back in January when Governor Greitens had his State of the State address that later was overshadowed by the KMOV report. In this chamber, we have Missouri House members that are in their seats. We also have Missouri senators who are sitting in chairs up in the front of the chamber. Governor Parson is scheduled to address the House and Senate together at about 5:05. Well, I can tell you that is not exactly going to happen because they have to introduce. They never actually start on time. You have handshakes, you have applause. So I've always pretty much told our producers and stuff pretty much double the time that they think it's going to be as they make introductions. And then he has to walk down the aisle as well, and he'll shake a number of hands. I have an advanced copy of the speech. It was just handed to me by the governor's office. It is 5 pages. We're not going to go into the specifics. The governor will actually have that for you. But what I can tell you is earlier today I reported, based on information I had from State Representative Travis Fitzwater, that the governor was probably going to talk a lot about unity. And I can tell you that will be a theme that you will hear tonight about unity. The governor will speak, again, it's about 5 pages. And then as soon as he's done, he will walk out the back door and there will be a reception in the third floor rotunda. For those of you here in Jefferson City, there is a catering company that has been brought in. I was down there earlier today checking out the food. They are going to have a reception where the public is invited. It's in the third floor rotunda. And then after that, the governor and First Lady Teresa Parson will be greeting guests down in the governor's office. So it's an opportunity for you, if you have not met the new governor or any of the lawmakers, they're all here. You'll have a chance to get a meal and then meet the new governor as well. That will be after the speech, which again was supposed to start by now. It'll be a few minutes late. Governor Parson will be speaking right in front of me once he enters the chamber. The lieutenant governor normally sits behind the governor. The lieutenant governor's office is vacant, and that is something that Governor Parson told me on the record and in a comment he made to me last week. He's considering calling the legislature into a special session to consider legislation, to consider a bill that would give him the authority to appoint a lieutenant governor. So on TV tonight, when you're watching the television, you will not see a lieutenant governor that is going to be right behind him, because we don't have a lieutenant governor in that position. So it's just going to be the Speaker of the House, Todd Richardson, will be behind Governor Parson, and it will also be the Senate President Pro Tem, Ron Richard. Let's listen in, Mike Keating. Governor about ready to be introduced here. And when he is introduced, look for a lot of applause on both sides of the aisle. Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor, now Governor Mike Parson, coming in from the dais, the Senate standing right in front of him. He's wearing a dark blue suit. Trying to look down. I don't want to fall over here, but it looks like he has a white dress shirt and a striped tie. The governor literally right in front of me as he walks up to the dais.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He will be introduced by the Senate President Pro Tem,
Governor Mike
Parson. Richard.
Thank you.
Governor getting a standing ovation here from both sides of the aisle. And we will carry this speech in its entirety. Here is your new governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Parson, from Bolivar, Missouri.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Speaker Richardson, President Pro Tem Richard, and members of the Missouri House and the Senate. Let me first start by introducing my wife for the first time, Teresa, to you, and I'm so proud to recognize her as the First Lady of the state of Missouri, and she is a blessing to all of us. Also, in the upper gallery behind you, the rest of my family is up there. And if you would please rise and be recognized. I stand before you at a difficult time for our state. During this time, we have witnessed politics at its worst and at its best. We have been divided and we have been united. Missouri has risen to the occasion as we always do. Today is a time for a fresh start for our state, to recommit ourselves, each and every one of us, including you in the galleries. We must work together for a better Missouri. We faced difficult truths. We made tough decisions. We persevered because our institutions are strong. And the people of Missouri are stronger. Over the last 200 years, more than 7,000 Missourians have been elected to a state legislative or constitutional office. These were honorable men and women, people just like you and me, who temporarily put aside their personal obligations, traveled to the seat of government, and took an oath to do the people's business. And like so many of you, most were not here looking to build a career. They were not here for fame or glory or notoriety. They placed their names on the ballot, staked out positions on issues, endured the inevitable attacks that come with campaigning, and walked into this building because they were called to be public servants. We stand here today in a long legacy of citizen patriots from across the state of Missouri who have answered the call of duty, and we salute their service. One 100 years ago, the governor's mansion and the seats in this chamber were occupied by people whose names most of us don't remember. And 100 years from now, long after each of us has departed from this earth, these seats will continue to exist, held by men and women whose grandparents have not even been born. Make no mistake, the offices we now hold are far bigger than any one of us.
Standing ovation, both sides of the aisle for Governor Parson.
Future Missourians may look back at the journals of the House or the Senate from this legislative session, and they will see our names. They will know our party affiliations. They will see the votes we cast. But none of these will define who we are. The responsibility of our jobs was given to us by our forefathers by passing down the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. Our job, the job of each and every one of us, is to continue that tradition, which is the framework to be able to live the American dream and ensure it exists for the next generation. And our job is also to honor the memory of those who have come before and to applaud those yet to come who will leave their permanent mark on our great state of Missouri. What we must ask ourselves, have we been respectful to our constituents, to our colleagues, and to our state? Have we acted morally and ethically? Have we honored the people of the great state who sent us here? How we answer these questions will define who we are. For many of you, this will be the first and the last office you ever hold. But what you do during your brief time matters. It matters to the student and the teacher. It matters to the truck driver and the small business owner. It matters to the police officer and the prisoner. It matters to the worker and the employer. And it matters to the nurse and the farmer. But it is not just the votes you cast or the bills that are signed. It's how we respect the institution that has temporarily been entrusted to our care.
Applause from both sides.
We are expected to debate passionately for what we believe, but we must be careful not to erode the public's trust in our system of government for short-term personal gain. The government our forefathers established make us unique in the world and sets America apart as a shining city on the hill. We should expect criticism and understand that some of it is unfair, but we must always take responsibility for our own actions. Most of all, we must always remember that we serve the people and the state of Missouri, not the other way around.
Springfield Democrat Crystal Quaid, the first person on both sides of the aisle, stand up for that. Bipartisan standing ovation for the governor. And it continues.
Sadly, much of the political turmoil that has engulfed our state is a result of these truths being forgotten. When the public's trust is violated, we are obligated to act. Over the past few months, I have been impressed by the care, the prudence, and the professionalism you have shown as you have sought the truth. I am in awe, once again, of the fortitude of our state's institutions. But our institutions are only as strong as the people who serve them. And the great state of Missouri is better because of your service. Today, in this chamber, we have the opportunity for a fresh start, to elevate the tone of our political discourse, to recommit ourselves to the values that made our system of government the envy of the world. This does not mean disregarding our beliefs, moderating our positions. It means debating with respect. It means conducting ourselves with integrity. It means unifying around the idea that no matter which party we belong to, each of us is here for the same reason, to make Missouri a better place.
Again, bipartisan applause here. Both sides of the aisle. Every Democrat, every Republican, as I look out, standing and applauding what the governor, Mike Parson, is saying.
Too many people have come to believe that dysfunction and inaction are the normal conditions of government. But over the past few months, the members of the Missouri General Assembly have proven that effective leadership is possible. Among you, there are profound disagreements, yet throughout the legislative session, you have respected each other. You respected the process, and you respected the people of this state. And in the midst of political strife, you debated and argued passionately for issues you care about. Not long ago, you completed one of the most historic legislative sessions in recent memory. Not enough has been said about that. Your many legislative achievements, including significant tax reform for Missourians, record education funding for our students, government union reform, a responsible balanced budget, and many other reforms that made government smaller, more efficient, and more effective for Missourians. This is how government should work, and this is the people's government, and we all in this room can ensure that it continues to work in the years ahead. As we move forward together, I pledge that I will spend every day working to make our state stronger and more prosperous. I promise the welfare of the people will be my guiding principle and sole consideration. And I will never forget, that public service is, first and foremost, is about serving Missourians.
Bipartisan applause again for Governor Parson.
And I hope that each of you will join me. During this time, I am reminded by a passage of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only at his own interests, but also of the interests of others. With your prayers and the prayers of millions of Missourians, for me and my family, for all of our political leaders and of our state, I am confident that our wounds will heal and the bonds that bind us together as Missourians will strengthen. And now, more than ever, I am optimistic that we will move forward. As President Abraham Lincoln urged in the closing days of the Civil War, with malice towards none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in to bind up the nation's wounds. May God bless you and may God bless the great state of Missouri.
That is Governor Mike Parson in his speech, ballpark about 9 minutes. He gets a standing ovation from both sides of the aisle, a message focused on unity, a message focusing on bipartisanship, and a message focused on working together. Not a lot of policy issues that he discussed. It was more about talking about working together, kind of healing the wounds. He did say he's going to try to focus on prosperity. House members on both sides of the aisle continuing to talk and continuing to clap and talk amongst each other about what they are seeing. I'll go to Elisa Nelson in just a moment, just making sure that the governor isn't going to add anything here. The governor walking off the stage, the dais, if you will, and he is right in front of me right now.
The chair recognizes the senator from the 6th.
Go over and shake hands with Missouri Supreme Court justices and a number of lawmakers as well. Let's bring in Elisa Nelson, who's our managing editor, as Ron Richard gets ready to adjourn the special session. Then we'll bring up a number of lawmakers. Elisa, your reaction to what you just heard?
I think you just saw it just felt differently than going back to former Governor Eric Greitens's State of the State speech back in January. Having the upper gallery completely filled, I think, says a lot. If I remember correctly, back to January, there weren't very many people up here in the upper gallery. And I just feel like it's very upbeat. And he delivered a very uplifting speech about encouraging people to have integrity, to work together. And so I just feel like, you know, it was a very moving speech tonight for the people of the legislature. And he praised them for the work that they did. He brought up what has been really a fractured Missouri politics this year, and how the legislature upheld its duty by doing its work despite all of the drama that's been going on this year.
And Elisa, you and I have spent so much time, literally we barely slept this year because we have been over here every day. You noticed it as well. Virtually everything he said, standing ovations from Democrats and Republicans. In fact, Crystal Quaid, Democrat from Springfield, was the first person several times to get up and applaud. Really nothing he said was partisan today. It was more about unity, very little policy issues.
And that's what you have seen over the last 10 or so days from Parson, is bringing everyone to the table to move the state forward.
Absolutely. Elisa, I appreciate it. You have heard Ann Wagner is here. Congressman Jason Smith is here. And then we'll bring in a bunch of lawmakers and get reaction here live on our network until 6. Jason Smith, Ann Wagner, Senator Roy Blunt. Am I missing anybody? That's who I thought. And if we are, I'll correct that. But I believe those are the three members. Because Emmanuel Cleaver, I know, had to get back to Kansas City. I talked to his staff. Am I missing anybody that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
And we are going to try to bring in Ann Wagner up here as well.
One final point. There is a reception that's going on right out. They have food that's being catered by a company out of Jefferson City. I tweeted the name. I believe it's Revis Catering out of Jefferson City. They are catering. And then the governor, for people who want to meet him, he's going to be greeting guests.
Yeah, I think that we'll have some reaction tomorrow morning. I'll be out there talking to some of the lawmakers and people and get their reaction to what the governor has been saying and what he has said tonight.
Very good. Elisa, thanks. And we'll talk to you again before 6 o'clock. I appreciate that. Elisa Nelson, fantastic job. We are live right now on our 63 station network right here on Missouri Net. And we're going to have, actually, go ahead and take the microphone. We have extra microphones here. Let's bring in, we're going to have enough lawmakers up here. I think we could convene our own special session at some point. For those of you you can go ahead and take the microphone, and then if others join us, we'll get them as well. I'm Brian Ellsworth. We've got extra microphones here. To my right, Representative Chuck Basie, Republican of Roachport. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. And to my left, Representative Greg Razor, Democrat from Kansas City. You're a conservative Republican. You're a progressive Democrat. And yet I look down virtually everything he said, you both stood up and applauded. You're both of your reaction. I'll start with you, Representative Basie.
Yeah, I thought it was a good speech. I think he hit it right on the head. We need to move forward and look out for the best interests of the state as a whole. I can't agree with him more than, we're not here for ourselves. We're here to serve the people of the state. So I agree with that.
Representative Greg Razor, you were clearly frustrated with the previous governor. There's no doubt you were frustrated.
Yes. The takeaway from the speech tonight, the main takeaway that I had anyway, was the governor's mention of making sure that the people don't, their faith in the institutions don't erode. And I was very happy to hear him say that throughout this process. So even though occasionally in any form of government like ours, you're going to have bad actors that show up. But the House of Representatives showed this year that we can put politics aside, make sure that is fixed and move on with the work of the government. And so instead of looking at this as a dark time, I hope Missourians can look at this as a shining moment for our institutions.
Representative Bill Reibold is also with us right now. So for those of you tuning in, we have a Republican, Representative Chuck Basie. To my right, Representative Greg Razor of Kansas City, a Democrat in the middle. And to my left, Representative Bill Reibold, who's the chairman of the Transportation Committee. Great to see you, Mr. Chairman. Your reaction to the governor's address?
Well, thank you, and it's good to be here, as always. I thought it was a good address. It was kind of short and to the point. It talked about things that are important to me, like, this state and government is not about any one person, and we all work together for good things for Missouri. And that's the reason I'm here, and I think that's the reason we all should be here.
Final question for you guys, and I'll open it up. But you were all here. I know people have strong opinions. You openly said, Representative Basie, you felt like the governor should have had his chance to have his side of the story, but in the end, he did resign. So I know you felt that way. Representative Razor, you wanted him impeached, obviously, because of what happened. Do you think the state can heal? Are you optimistic the state can heal? But based on what I just saw and heard, I think it can. What do you guys think?
Well, we have to heal. We just got to move forward and look out for the best interests of our state. And I wasn't happy with what happened, but I'm not saying Governor Greitens was innocent or guilty. I didn't know. I was waiting for the facts to emerge, and I don't think we ever got that. And there's still a lot of unanswered questions we need to find out about.
Representative Razor.
Missourians are strong. We're tough. We're going to heal from this. We're going to move forward. Today is a day about healing, about coming together, and tomorrow we're going to start arguing with each other again, and hopefully in a positive way. But that's how our republic works: is that we come here and we argue passionately. And so today we're here to pat the governor on the back, and tomorrow we'll come after him over his bad ideas.
on stuff like tax cuts, you're going to disagree, but you've always been respectful though on stuff like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you can't, we're going to disagree 70% of the time, but what about the 30% of the time? What if he wants to come to the table and help us get this gas tax passed? What if he wants to come to the table and help our universities? I want to be there and helping the governor whenever I can when we agree on issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bill Reibel, I mean, you and Greg Razor, I interviewed the two of you all over the state with the gas tax. We ran into each other. Yeah. Who says we don't work in the summer? We were all over. And you two disagree on a lot of stuff, but on transportation, Greg Razor, Bill Reibel are on the same page.
Yes, we are, and we agree, and that's a good thing. And yes, we can come together and work together. And I wanted to say, too, that I wish the Greitens and their family the very best.
Sure.
I took a wait and see attitude and trying to get all the facts, but now the state can come together and we can heal and we can get around our new governor and we can work together, and this is good for Missouri.
Anything you guys would like to add? I know that
just real quickly, yeah. I'd just like to say, even though Representative Razor from Kansas City, it's nice to see he wore his Cardinal necktie.
I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk away. M-I-Z.
Absolutely, M-I-Z. Yeah. Hey, great to see you. Representative Razor.
Thank you.
Representative Reibel.
Thank you, sir.
Always good to see you. We appreciate it very much. Keep up the good work, guys. We appreciate it. Let's bring in, we have a special guest right now, Congresswoman Ann Wagner, who is a former Jefferson City resident, and she is someone who I've had the chance to interview many times.
Absolutely.
We don't get a chance to see you much, Congresswoman, at the Capitol. Great to see you.
It's like old home week. We've spent the entire day here. This is a place where I've raised my children and served under the Ashcroft administration, and it's good to be back. I spent a full day. We had a terrific meeting the entire congressional delegation had this morning on a bipartisan basis with Governor Parson. We talked about infrastructure and transportation needs. We talked about workforce needs of the state of Missouri. We talked about trade and agriculture and how we in Washington, D.C. can do whatever we possibly can to be supportive of his agenda and support the legislature and return the power to the state as much as possible.
Congresswoman Wagner, just with us a few minutes. I really appreciate your time. You know, the one thing, and you're a conservative Republican in Washington, there's no doubt. Your friend and colleague Emanuel Cleaver was here as well. In the very issues you just cited, he talked about as well, transportation, workforce development, and he said he wants to work with the new governor. Do you sense that from all the members?
I have. I'm so proud of Governor Parson, and frankly how the entire General Assembly has comported itself in a very strong, bipartisan fashion. This has been a difficult time for our state, and certainly the governor I think alluded to that today, but it's a time for us to pull together and to be a true servant of the people. And I think that the humility and the servant's heart of this governor came through today in his remarks, and that he is clearly going to put the people of Missouri first.
One final question. Your reaction to his address and how many standing ovations he got from Democrats and Republicans, not just one side or the other, both sides.
It's heartwarming, and it's how it should be. We are here to serve the people. And I think what I was most impressed by, both this morning and in the meetings that we've had all day today with the leadership, is the humility that they have and their willingness to pull together and to move the state forward. So I'm excited to be a part of that. I'm here to be as supportive as possible, and it's just a great day for the state of Missouri.
We don't get to see you very much in Jeff City because you spent a lot of time in Washington. Your district is St. Louis County.
Yes.
In Baldwin. You miss Jeff City, though, don't you?
I miss Jeff City. As I said, this is old home week for me, so it's good to be back with friends and those that are serving, faces of old and new faces, too.
It's great to see you, Congresswoman.
Thank you.
Good
pleasure.
To see you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Congresswoman Ann Wagner of Baldwin joining us on the program. We have a couple more guests right now. Let's restart. Let's bring in Representative Holly Rader is here, and we've got Senator Doug Weibel here as well, as I hand out microphones here. We've got cameras going too as well at 5:30 as we reset on our 63 station statewide radio network. Yeah, and we don't want Senator Leibel to fall down the stairs behind us right here because they have some steps here. So be careful.
We have enough maintenance going on around here anyway without a hole in the floor.
That's right.
Exactly.
Without picking you up.
We don't want to have to pull the senator off the floor. I understand. Senator Doug Leibel is with us right now live
live on the air. We appreciate Congresswoman Wagner joining us. And then State Representative Holly Rader from Sykeston is here as well. Both of you represent Southeast Missouri. Representative Rader, you're from Sykeston. Senator Weibel, you're from Poplar Bluff. Two areas very close to each other. Southeast Missouri, obviously jobs is a big factor. I want to get both of your reaction to the governor's address, and I'll start with you, Representative Rader. Your thoughts on what the new governor said.
You know, I think that it's very important to us, absolutely, for Southeast Missouri. And, you know, he talked about the things that we have passed this year, the great reforms, that labor reform, I mean, the tax reform, the many reforms that we've passed that really haven't been spoken about. And I think that when it comes to the governor, he has shown a great amount of wisdom the last couple of months, certainly. And it was just really a good unity to have him stand up there and to have him speak to the things that he has helped work for the past few years and that we got accomplished across the line this year. It's going to be important to Southeast Missouri.
Would you like to see him? I think he's coming to Sykeston.
He is. He is this week. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow, I believe.
And where's he going?
Wednesday.
Forgive me.
145, Three Rivers College.
Well, that's a good
night. That's right.
I've got
yes,
the date,
at the college.
The days, where's he? So he's going to the college down there.
Yes.
You're going to be with him. Is Sykeston in your Senate district as well?
It is part of it.
So he has part of it, right?
Yeah.
Yes. New Madrid County.
Yeah.
And actually, you never know when you go from Scott to New Madrid.
You don't. Yeah. Seamless.
Down in the hills.
No, we're flatland.
You know, I should know. I was just down there. Exactly. I was down there at the power plant. Senator, your reaction, Senator Doug Leibla from Poplar Bluff, your reaction to the governor's speech, because you've been right in the middle with Governor Greitens as well. You and Governor Greitens obviously did not see eye to eye. Your reaction to the new governor's speech?
Pretty much like the representative said, I think it was a good speech to get everybody working together and move forward. She covered some of the other issues that we've taken care of this year. What's important to me is job skills. We need education, a computer science bill that we got done this year, the STEM work. Companies, if we're going to grow our economy and grow jobs, we're going to have the type of workforce that's needed in the 21st century. And to be honest with you, we've been teaching the same stuff for the last couple hundred years, and we need to move into the 21st century. I mean, we're 18 years into it, so we might as well get with it. So hopefully we'll get that going to where a computer science will be a graduating credit. And I think that's going to take care of a lot of our problems. We get kids coming out of them schools, and not just kids, but also adults also can retrain and do some work. And, you know, with the advent of the Internet and all of that, as long as we have high-speed Internet, it really doesn't make any difference where you're sitting. So we could have some jobs come in down at Sykeston and in offices and do some work. I know when we were doing the computer science bill in a committee and over in the House, Microsoft had people there talking about how important it was. Also, there was an IT owner over in Kansas City would like to expand. So the thing I picked up from that, they don't have to know everything there is to know about programming and coding. They can teach them, but they need to have an understanding.
And Senator Weibel is with us, and Representative Holly Rader, the governor, will be in Sykeston a little bit later this week. Representative Rader, one issue that is so close to your heart, you've talked about it openly. You were just on NBC on Megyn Kelly's program as well about the issue of child marriage. You've also talked about addiction. It's a powerful message. There's so many families being broken apart by the issue of addiction. Is that something you'd like to talk to the governor about? I know today was more about uni. Is that something you'd like to talk to him about?
Right, absolutely. And I know that he has been a strong supporter of our seniors, of our veterans, while he's been Lieutenant Governor, and his years in the Missouri Senate has shown us just the few years that I've been watching him. I mean, he cares about mental health. He cares about our seniors. He cares about our veterans, and he cares about our children. And I think that when it comes to our babies being born with opioid addiction, you know, there are just so many areas that affect our state budget, that affect just the health of our people and our children being cared for properly. And so I really do look forward to having a great conversation with him and seeing just how I can be helpful in this fight, because it's definitely something that's nationwide, but our state's taken a big hit for it.
You did a great job, I thought, on Megyn Kelly. That was an emotional story to tell in that young lady that was from Steele, gosh, what a tough life she's had.
She really has. And, you know, and I think that it's, in my life, I very much wanted to use anything that, that God has brought me through to be able to be helpful to others. And that's what I want to continue doing. But having the opportunity to go and speak to child marriage nationally, you know, just the prayer that it will help some other people, I was definitely willing to do that and tell my story. And I know that it's God uses those things.
Senator Weibel, one final question for you. What is the status of the smelter down there? They reopened it. Any word on that? Because the governor, obviously, the now governor, Parson, strong supporter of getting more jobs in the Boot Heel.
Absolutely. Well, the latest is we're trying to get it refired back up. They've been hiring people down there. You know, the problem that we do have, though, is a lot of tariff stuff that's going on right now.
Right.
You know, from Washington, D.C. Matter of fact, I've been working on that today with some other facilities in southeast Missouri. You know, we have the 25% tariff coming from Mexico on steel and wire products. And as you know, my background is steel and wire products.
Right.
In Poplar Bluff. So we're working on that. Hopefully we can continue moving that conversation forward. But it would take longer in this interview for me to really, which I could dive down into international trade and all that kind of stuff if you'd like to. But hopefully, you know, we get the corner turned down there, and hopefully the aluminum market selling price stays up. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
We've got to be able to sell our aluminum and our steel products and our nail products at a price that we can afford to build them and make a profit and to pay our employees. Employees, so.
We'll save the further discussion for when we have more time and stuff, but it's a great story.
He knows, we
could do 3 hours with him on that. There's no doubt.
Well, it's I hate to have to say it, but I do have years of experience with that.
Sure.
And it's been some trying times for domestic producers of products. And, you know, China's not the only country, but, you know, they're the big bear in the house. And we have some unfair trade laws going on. So we're going to have to get to work on some of that stuff and be able to move our manufacturers forward.
Senator Doug Weibel, Republican of Poplar Bluff, great to see you. We appreciate that.
And I think one of the additional things about that is that, you know, we have in August 7th, we have Prop A that's going to be on the ballot. And we still have more business looking at Southeast Missouri, but it's our understanding that they're waiting this out to see if right to work is truly going to be the law of the state. So we definitely need a yes on Prop A August 7th.
And that is I know some people would question that, but I was right. You were the one that sponsored that bill to move it to August.
Right.
And it got put on an amendment, I believe.
We ended up passing the Senate version. So we have, you know, in our legislative process, many times the same bill is filed in both houses, and it just depends on which one gets across the line.
Right.
My bill would be carried by the senator who filed it, the same bill in the Senate, and then I carried his bill over here in the House. So it was his bill that got across the line, but ours were identical. So it's definitely a very, very important subject to Southeast Missouri. I mean, when we have hundreds of jobs waiting to see if this is going to be the law of the land, I mean, we need to make it happen.
So you're saying on the record that there are companies who are willing to go to Southeast Missouri, but they'll only go if the right to work is defeated.
Yes, we have...
The right to work is approved.
Is made the law of the land.
Okay.
We have one that has been sitting out waiting. And, you know, I know Don Roan has spoke about that on the floor. And
sure.
He knows of others that I've not been privy to. But, you know, many times companies they're not going to say that. They're not going to say that because of the attacks that they get based on that. But when a company is trying to make, and I'm a business owner, and, you know, you have to assess your risk. And when the risk is that all of your workforce could leave at once, that's a huge risk. And so the workers that are being hired now for Magnitude 7, those are not union jobs. They're excellent paying jobs. I mean, it hasn't been changed, but they're not hiring in as union jobs. And so they're still having all of those benefits. They still have great pay. And gosh, we need that for Southeast Missouri. So we're really excited.
I was down there and I was struck by how much poverty is in Sikeston and just across the areas. It's just a lot of children. children in poverty, too. I mean, it's incredible.
We do. And we recently had, you know, one of our hospitals closing down in the Boot Hill. And, I mean, these are things that are so important to us. I mean, transportation is very difficult. And we have, you know, a higher occurrence of our babies born with opioid addiction. I mean, all of this, it affects the bottom line of the state. But it also, I mean, it's affecting our families. It's affecting children growing up, being moved into the foster care system. I mean, there are so many things that I know that are going to help our state that we get to working on. And I was so excited to hear the governor speaking to that and bringing us all together. And, you know, he's a man of integrity and character. He's shown great wisdom over the last few months in walking through this as it was, you know, kind of upside down and chaotic.
Sure.
And he's very measured, and I really appreciate that. And I'm pretty excited. I think we're going to have some great things ahead.
Representative Holly Rader is our guest here from Sykeston. Great to see you.
Thank you.
You hang in there. Have a good day. Always good to see you. Representative Holly Rader of Sykeston. We'll bring in Lisa Nelson. He'll join me on this next interview. And we've got the chairman of the House Budget Committee. Let me check our clock right now. We got good time here. It's 5:44, so we are in good shape. For those of you who are just tuning in across the network, we've got a number of all other lawmakers who are scheduled to join us as well. Lisa, feel free to jump in. We've got the chairman of the House Budget Committee, a man who knows this budget left and right, who studies it closely, Scott Fitzpatrick, Republican of Shelnub. Mr. Chairman, your reaction to the governor's address?
I think it was a good tone to set. It was refreshing, you know, to have the opportunity to see Governor Parson just kind of set the stage for the way that the relationship will hopefully work between the legislative and executive branches moving forward. And you know, I look forward to seeing the words in action, and I believe that he will do that well.
Lisa Nelson, our managing editor.
Representative, how closely are you now working with the governor's office during this transition, and a very important transition because the governor has lots of bills left to sign, including the state budget?
Yeah, so as you guys know, the governor's new legislative director was my vice chairman, former Representative Alferman. So he and I are in pretty regular communication, and really neither one of us had even contemplated. I really don't think he'd even contemplated the possibility he would become the legislative director to the governor when Governor Parson took over, and I hadn't thought about it at all either until the day that he interviewed with Governor Parson. I think they reached out to him about coming to work in his office, and you know, I think he and I found out about that probably on the same day. So it was just, I'm sure he found out a little before I did, but it's kind of a double-edged sword because I really enjoyed working with Justin on the budget committee, and now he's going to be in the executive branch. But I think it's a good you know, relationship to have there that I think will benefit both the governor's office and the House to have those staff there, and it does make it a lot easier to work with the governor's office on things.
One thing Elisa and I have reported on so many times in House Budget Committee hearings and on the floor, and it's been something you've talked about and Representative Alferman, others as well, is what happened with the health department about the budget over there. Justin Alferman and Nate Tate, yourself, you guys led the effort on that. What's the status of that? The budget that's on the governor's desk right now, as I understand it, would cut $1 million out of DHSS, correct?
Yes, it does. And it's interesting. Now that the shoe's on the other foot, I don't know how former Representative Alfred feels about that. But he, I think that he still understands that the way that was handled was not good on the part of the Department of Health. And I really, it's an ongoing issue. The Speaker and the Pro Tem and the Majority Leader and myself have all signed a letter to Justin demanding answers. So we'll see. We'll see if he's able to deliver now that he's on the other side of the equation there. But no, it's you know, I think that you know, hopefully that issue's not put to bed yet. In all seriousness, it's not something we're just gonna turn a blind eye to. I do think that there has now been another confirmed case of bourbon virus as recently as I found out about it today. I don't know when it was confirmed. So it is not a, it's not an issue that's just going to go away, I don't think.
You found out, I haven't received any word at all from the health department about that. So, I mean, I guess my question is, if people are getting this virus, shouldn't we as the public know about it? Or I guess they would say, well, if they tell us, it may put out a personal identifiable information, but what should the public know?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. I mean, their argument is that somebody could take the number of positive cases in the state and go out and find other information about who has been tested, even though there's no public information that I'm aware of that provides a list of names of the people who were tested, and that they could take those two pieces of information and identify the people. And unless everybody that tested positive, and unless we know exactly who was tested, I don't think that that's a very valid argument. We have reporting on diseases on a county by county basis. There are instances you can cite where the department has published, one instance of mad cow disease or Gengue fever in a county. And it's like, if you can report where there's one person that had this disease in a county, why can't you tell us statewide how many people have tested positive for the bourbon virus? But I think I think there's been a series of bad decisions on that by the department and
Dr. Williams too.
He's in charge. I mean, I think he's doing it on advice of counsel, so he says. But it was a discussion in the budget conference committee that he's, I think, currently a defendant in a lawsuit for his former job in North Carolina, where chose not to release certain information about a water issue out there. So I don't know. It seems that he prefers not to release that sort of information. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun to work with Justin now on that.
Absolutely. Lisa?
Let's shift the discussion for a minute back to a different budgetary matter. Mizzou came out here in the last couple of days talking about how some changes that they're going to have to make, some cuts that they're going to have to make to try and balance their budget. Is that something we should probably consider other Missouri colleges are probably going to do, because they can only raise tuition so much, and that was an agreement that the legislature made with Missouri's public colleges and universities. Are we going to see more of this, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in talking to, so Missouri Southern was exempt from the agreement. I think Missouri State University will be able to basically, they had said that they would be able to work within the budgetary confines of what we appropriated this year, assuming they get all that money, and I think that they will, that they were in a position to be able to make that work. Some of the other institutions, I haven't heard a lot of details on. I think the University of Missouri system, though, is a system that it was obviously the biggest. I think it probably had the most opportunities in terms of inefficiencies that could be eliminated. And I think Dr. Choi has done a good job at going in and right-sizing some things there. And, I think that, moving into next budget year, we've done a pretty good job, in my opinion, budgeting conservatively this year and last year. And I think that's going to pay dividends as we go into build the budget next year. If we can avoid some major Medicaid, explosion again, I think we'll have some discretionary resources that we can invest into higher education next year, as opposed to just trying to hold them flat and call that a win. Hopefully we can help to offset some of the cost of their experiencing, because I know that for all the institutions, they except for Mizzou, they're participants in Mosier's, the state pension plan, and so whenever there's a increase needed there, they have to pay that. Health insurance goes up every year, and so it's not reasonable for them to expect them, all the institutions of the state, to be able to manage for eternity on the same budget that they got last year or the year before. It's just not. So we'll have to do something at some point. And
Final question for you, and I really appreciate you coming up to join us. House Budget Committee Chairman Scott Fitzpatrick, you met with the governor last week during his first week, and I know you can't give a private conversation, but what can you share with us about what you told him and what he told you that you're comfortable telling us about that?
Yeah, I briefed him on a few issues that, you know, as it relates to the budget that probably required a little more explanation as to, how we got to where we are. We discussed maintenance on this building. He was on the Capitol Commission as mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor, and we'll have some appointments to that that commission as governor. And we're kind of in a position with the state capitol where it's at a point where it needs a pretty major overhaul. And Governor Parson, when he was a senator, championed the last bonding package that we used to do large maintenance repair projects on several state buildings. So we discussed that, and we discussed some of his priorities, one of which, and I think the primary one, is workforce development and kind of some initial discussion on what's going to have to happen there and how we can try to make Missouri more competitive economically, and particularly from a workforce standpoint. So those are kind of the high-level points that were hit in that meeting. And it was a good meeting. It lasted a little under an hour, and we had kind of a broad-ranging discussion, and it was good to be in there with Justin and Robert Odell, who are guys that mm-hmm. Who I've had the chance to work with on this side for the last few years, and I'm excited to see what's to come.
You're excited about the future.
I am. I'm very excited.
Representative Scott Fitzpatrick, the Republican chairman of the House Budget Committee, we see him all the time. I said this on Twitter. I appreciate you. After all those budget committees that I went to hearings, you were late sometimes to caucus meetings because you would take the time to brief me to make sure the information I had was correct. Kip Kendrick did the same on the Democratic side. I want to thank you for that because this budget stuff can get complicated.
It gets complicated really quick, and I've always appreciated your and everybody at Missouri Net's commitment to being accurate. That's making sure you have the facts straight as opposed to just printing what you think
and assume.
And assume. That's really what I meant. And,
exactly.
And so it's important work you guys do, and we're lucky to have good reporters like you around the building. So appreciate having me on.
Great to see you, sir. Mr. Chairman Scott Fitzpatrick joining us here on the program. We always appreciate his time, and we wish him the best in his final year. Got about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. Lisa Nelson is with me right now. There were a couple other lawmakers that were scheduled to join us, Senator Jamila Nasheed. Hopefully she'll be able to make it, and some of them may have been caught down in the reception as well. I'll tell you what stuck out to me is him mentioning Chairman Fitzpatrick about the other bourbon virus case. That's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, we're going to have to follow up on that tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's brand new information. A couple other things I thought that stood out from our interviews. Representative Rader is saying that there are companies that won't come here unless right to work is approved. And now, if you talk to the Democrats, they're going to disagree with that as well. Again, that depends on perspective.
Absolutely. And I know that there has been a lot of attention on Prop A, and that's going to be as we get closer to August, it's just going to heat up even more. So we'll just have to wait and see how that turns out. And, you know, there have been many right-to-work sorts of ballot measures that have been in our elections and that have been, you know, that have headed to court shortly after, you know. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens here.
The one question that was raised was about the tone, and I'll leave you with or get your final thought on this, and we'll wrap it up, Elisa. This is a direct quote from the governor talking about tone, talking about unity. He said, quote, "We should expect criticism and understand that some of it is unfair, but we must always take responsibility for our actions. Most of all, we must always remember we serve the people in the state of Missouri, not the other way around," end of quote. Powerful quote. And the first person out of her chair, Crystal Quaid, to give him a standing ovation.
Yeah, I think that's his message of making sure that you work with integrity and make sure that you're doing honorable work. And so I think it's an important message that he had a lot of very important messages tonight that I think I think the people of Missouri needed to hear.
An interesting address. There were a number of Missouri congressional delegation members who were here. We had Ann Wagner, the congresswoman from St. Louis County, live on air with us, who used to live here in Jefferson City. Jason Smith's in the building. Senator Blunt did not have a chance to get them on the air. I did not see Billy Long. If he was here, I didn't see him. I know he was here this morning, but I didn't see him this afternoon. But again, a number of people were here. What we're going to do, folks, is we are going to tomorrow morning on Missouri Net have excerpts of the governor's address on our newscast throughout the morning on our Missouri Net newscast, and then reaction. Elise has gotten some of her own reaction. We'll have other reaction from lawmakers as well, but that'll keep you posted throughout the morning. And then the governor will start immediately tomorrow his statewide listening tour. I'll be visiting with the governor on Wednesday morning in Columbia as he speaks at the University of Missouri at Gwynn Hall at 8:30. Elise, as we wrap up, anything you'd like to add? Any final thoughts?
Well, I think that it's going to continue to be a busy week for him. And, you know, one thing he's obviously going on is listening tour, and he's been listening for the last 10 or so days, and he's going to keep listening. And I think, you know, some of the critical issues he's dealing with at the same time is going to be our bills, about 70-something bills that he has to consider by July 14th on whether or not he's going to sign them, and then also appointments to the State Board of Education, and I think those are going to be coming out in the next day or two.
That'll be huge. There's no question about it. I want to thank our producer tonight, Mike Cady, as well as our managing editor, Lisa Nelson, for a terrific job on our live broadcast. I'm Brian Helsworth on Missouri Net. Have a great evening, everyone.